Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom. I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Monday, June 26, 2023. Hi, Butch.
Hey, Melody. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you, too. Woohoo!
Ready to roll again. Another week together. Wow.
Yeah. Next week is the 4th, July 4th. It's on a
Hard
Tuesday.
To believe it. July.
So it'll be a shortened week next week. So for all you folks out there that need to add gold and silver to your portfolio or convert some of those paper dollars into some real money, give us a call. 1-800-375-4188. We'll be on limited hours next week as far up and through the Tuesday, and then we'll be back to regular hours on Wednesday. So premiums are coming down and everything, so it's a great buying opportunity right now. And crazy things are happening. And I think what happened this weekend with Russia, to me, I don't know how big of a deal that was or is. What I thought was a big deal is how something like that can creep and happen on a weekend.
I don't think it creeped. I really don't. I'll show you that in a little bit. But I guess
we didn't know. Was my point.
Well, you and I didn't know.
whether it creeped or not, that's beside the point. But I mean, as far as the general populace out there, it crept up on it popped
yes,
up
it
out
did.
Of nowhere, regardless of what the government thought. So this is how and that's how the future will be too. They will know. We will not. We'll wake up to a different world, a brand new world. So. But that was that's what made me think, how things can change so quickly. Gold today,
absolutely.
Gold today up $2. It was much, much higher. It was up by another $10. But it pulled back, you know, always does in the last hour of trade, 1923. Silver was up 1.5% at $22.87. Platinum was up 7 at $934. Palladium was up $23 at $1,339. The USDX today was down 0.12 at 102.76. Crude oil was still below 70 at 69.55. Paper markets today, let's take a peek at those. The big loser of the day was the NASDAQ. The NASDAQ shed about 1%. Techs. They dumped tech names. starting the final week of June. So the NASDAQ was down 156 points, 13,335. The Dow was down 12, and the S&P was down 19, so no biggie there, but it was the NASDAQ, and that's where a lot of people have most of their money. So the European markets, France was higher just fractionally, but everything else was negative, but not by no big numbers. Same way with Asia. Shanghai was down about 1.5%. 10-year yield, 3.71%, 3.71. And let's take a peek at natural gas, was up 2.25%, 2.791, 2.791. And you know what's interesting? There was this report was actually out, the picture was actually out, but you know, it looks like, well, that's not it. Oh, I'm looking at the wrong report. Dag nabbit. Here's an interesting story. Deutsche Bank tells investors some of their Russian shares are missing. And again, this is just things that are, to me, will happen in the future. These are just the little warnings for those of you who have paper investments. These are the little things. They might seem little now. It's not little to the people who they're affected by. But Deutsche Bank has told clients it can no longer guarantee full access to Russian stocks that belong to them, underlining the challenges global investors face to recover stranded investments in the country's companies. Germany's largest bank said in a note dated June 9th and viewed by Reuters that it had uncovered a shortfall in the shares that backed the depository receipts the bank had issued. And this was before the Ukraine invasion. The shares were held in Russia by a different depository bank. Deutsche attributed the shortfall to a decision by Moscow to allow investors to convert some of the DRs into local stocks. Now, most of you are saying, well, I don't have any Russian stocks anyway, and so forth and whatnot. That's not my point here. My point here is, this is what happens. How do you lose track of shares? They're no longer getting, you know, all the issues that Deutsche Bank has. They all have. Some are just get bigger government help than others, although Deutsche Bank has had a lot of government help. But I mean, these are what's going to happen when, you know, all of a sudden you think that you're sitting pretty nice and all of a sudden they're going to uncover a shortfall in something. So again, be careful with what you're holding. Make sure you know. Don't just let your financial planner tell you, hey, we got you in some conservative investment. Okay, well, find out what they are. Which I can't tell you how many people I talk to and they have no idea. No idea what's in their portfolios for their retirement and pension accounts. And that makes it even more important to get it covered by gold and silver, by the insurance for the paper that you do hold.
That, to me, that doesn't make sense that you put all your money into a retirement account and you have no idea what's in the retirement account.
And you have no idea what's in it.
That doesn't make sense to me. That doesn't make any sense at all.
Because everybody trusts their financial planners.
Now, you don't, they may be mean.
And it's okay to trust. Yeah, it's okay to trust them when things are going well. But the problem is they're not going to tell you when things begin to go bad. Anybody can do good when a market is hot.
What was it, Reagan said?
My dog, Ruby. Ruby could do well.
Reagan said, trust but verify.
Yeah.
I mean, really, we're talking about the retirement accounts here. I'm not saying they're not going to do their best. I'm not saying they're not at all. But don't trust anyone with your retirement. Not that they're going to try to cheat you or anything else. Keep an eye on it yourself. To me, that's just common sense. Just plain common sense.
And I actually saw, and I couldn't find the report where I saw, but I saw where Russia is now beginning to sell gold to the individuals.
They are, yes.
Yes, yeah. So, pretty interesting there, folks.
It is. And, well, we have, where was I said they, Taiwan. They're starting to have the vending machine selling silver bar or gold bars. I think it's Taiwan. I may be wrong. I have to look it up.
Wasn't it South Korea?
South Korea, right. Thank you. I read an article today about silver is going to be in great demand soon because it is industrial metal. And a lot of things you're trying to make now, especially for the new batteries for the automobiles and all that, is going to put silver to great demand, which means silver prices will go up. And right now, silver is at a fairly low price, as is gold compared. Melody, people don't think about this, but gold is not that far off from being a record again, is it?
No, it isn't. It's still $1,900.
Yes. And I don't know. People realize what that's saying. It's just $100 away from being a record. Folks, this is how I tell you, there's something that you maybe want to think about and invest in, because if it's that close to being a record again, it could pop any day. With the way the economy is in this world today, it could pop any day. And it's going to pop sooner or later. But silver also is going to go up in value because they use more of it as industrial metal. It's going to continue to go up. So invest while you can in the prices. No, they're not cheap right now. Not compared to what you were a couple of years ago. But they're a lot cheaper than going to be in the future. Now's your chance to hop on it and do it. And do it. And listen, Melody will tell you the truth as far as what to do and how to do it. You can trust Melody to do her best. Now, again, as I said with anybody else, ask questions. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Have her explain things to you. That's what she does.
There was, one of these big dealers that are on TV in California and so forth. I talked to a client this morning. This goes back over a year ago, but she just was filling me in the details. She says, I'm so glad that I talked to you. She says, remember I told you I had sent a check off to one of the, she told me the dealer and so forth. And I had called them and told them that, that she was going to put a stop payment. And they said, oh, well, we're not going to cash it. We'll just tear it up. And, you don't have to worry about it. We're just going to tear up your check. She said, okay. But she told me this. And I told her, I says, no, you go put a stop payment on your check because they will cash it. Even though they told you they're not, they will. I said, go put a stop payment on your check immediately. She did. She told me a couple of months later, she got notification and so forth from them saying that her check was no good. So they tried to cash it anyway. I don't know if they waited or what they did, but they ran it through anyway.
Wow.
Even after they told her that they would not do that. So, I've been doing this a long time. I know all the little dirty deeds out there and all the little clues and everything else that, are all indicators. It's just like our economy and what's going to happen to our financial system and so forth. There's a lot of little clues out there. They're all little warning signs. Most people won't pay attention to them. But when you've been doing this long enough, you know what they are and you see them. And, there was also another report here that the heat wave leaving tens of millions of Americans in sweltering temperatures is going to test the power grid. They're talking about 2/3 of North America could suffer blackouts this summer.
Wow.
2/3. And just think if half of the population owned EVs. What do you think that would do to the power grid?
Anybody else will think of that? Do you think people will stop and realize, hey, maybe I don't want an electric car because I can't run my air conditioner? Uh-huh. Maybe they can stop and think about that?
Virtually the entire United States, west, thank goodness it's not east, virtually the entire United States west of the Mississippi River could suffer energy shortages during extreme conditions. That includes, I don't know if you had the info on this, that includes the western half of the United States, the central region, and the power system that serves most of Texas, New England, and Ontario are also at elevated risk of blackouts. Not brownouts. We're not talking about brownouts. So we're talking about blackouts. And I think we're beginning to experience the weather, the changes with these warm temperatures also. So, and again, that's going to hit our food production. Wheat prices will climb.
It is, yes.
Yep, corn, everything else.
Yes, it is. And the place we used to get it from, Ukraine supplied a lot of the world with grain. That's going to happen this year. The Netherlands is not going to be shipping like it normally does. So, yeah, food prices are going to go up because supply and demand will be the supply is low. The prices are going to go up. You know, what else can you say that?
So it's going to be an interesting summer.
It is, and fall. And fall.
Yes. So what would you like to talk about, Butch?
Well, this first article, this has nothing to do with finance, but I thought it was pretty well written. I didn't print off all of it, just part of it. And I want you to listen to the logic of this, because I kind of knew this, but this guy put together pretty well. Elections are like a toy steering wheel for babies. Let me read this. Voting in the Western democracy is like that bit in the opening intro of The Simpsons when Marge is driving with the baby. The baby is a toy steering wheel. The baby thinks she's driving a car, but it's just a fake toy to keep her busy, let her feel like she's participating. All the worst atrocities in human history have been perpetrated or permitted by the government of the people who perpetrated them. None of the world's most evil people are in prison. The law isn't there to protect you from bad people. It's there to protect bad people from you. Now, folks, that's obviously true. That's why you should always, always, always be distrustful of all efforts to extend the law and expand government power over you. It's not happening because your government wants to help you. Your government is not your friend. Republicans push war with China, while sometimes acting like skeptics on Russia warmongering. Democrats push war with Russia, while sometimes acting like skeptics on China warmongering. This creates the illusion of opposition while giving the war machine everything it wants, which happens to be a job of the two-party system, creating the illusion of having a democratic choice between two opposing parties while ensuring that both parties advance the same overall agendas. And folks, I think anybody who's been living more than 25, 30 years can see this easily. Trump's recent comments about taking Venezuela oil are another good illustration of the real reason major faction of the imperial blob like dislike Trump. It's not because he's anti-war or fighting the deep state. He isn't. It's because he's a sloppy empire manager who makes a machine look as ugly as it is and can't be trusted to keep the quiet parts quiet. It's actually kind of adorable how the Pentagon has gotten so comfortable sucking up funds for killing Russians that it's now at a point where it just goes, oh, hey, look, we just found a few billion dollars lying around on the ground. Oh, well, maybe, might as well throw it at Ukraine. Melody, that article goes on. It's a good article. That makes some very valid points to me. Very valid points. Two-party system, even Washington and Adams warned about that before they left office. They'll play against each other and play you for an idiot. Well, we've certainly seen that in our lifetime, and we know that like I said, they spend money on Ukraine and billions of dollars, and now they find some more they mislaid, they didn't know they had, and give it to them now, and the people just sit back and watch it happen, because they're going to vote in November, they're going to change it, they're going to get somebody in like Trump or somebody else going to get in and change it and take out the deep state. Oh, how foolish we have been for so, so long. Melody, comments?
No.
Nothing really? Wow. Uh-huh. Gee, I must have done a good job.
You do.
I appreciate that. And we're going to start on some things that happened over the weekend. And I'll give my opinion, like I said, in $2 by a cup of coffee at the local Wendy's. U.S. intelligence knew of Wagner plot days in advance. Briefed Congress. Well, I'll share this, and I'm sure they did, and I also think Putin did, but anyway. U.S. intelligence officials knew well in advance that Wagner head Yevgeny Prigozhin was planning to mount an army band against the Russian military's top commanders. Congressional leaders were even briefed days prior to Saturday's events, after U.S. intelligence reportedly observed the mercenary firm mustering forces and amassing weapons in preparation for possibly making a move toward the defense ministry. Describing the congressional briefing, the New York Times reported late Saturday that the U.S. spy agencies had indications days earlier that Mr. Prigozhin was planning something and worked to refine that material into a finished assessment. The information showed that the United States was aware of impending events in Russia, similar to how the intelligence agency had warned in late 2021 that Vladimir V. Putin was planning to invade Ukraine. But unlike in the case of those prior invasion warnings in February 2022, the U.S. administration stayed silent ahead of the dramatic Wagner events, likely hoping that it would create destabilization in the Russian state and negatively impact military operations in Ukraine. So far, there's been little evidence that suggests a whole short-lived mutiny by Wagner led to Ukraine gains along the front line. Yeah, great. Go ahead, Mother.
We hear the music. We'll be right back to finish up that topic.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And if you ask me how I'm feeling, don't tell me you're too blind to see. Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never gonna run around and desert you, never gonna make you cry, never gonna say goodbye, never gonna tell a lie and hurt you.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. Heading into the break, we were talking about the mercenaries marching on Moscow. I believe that was Saturday. And, it's kind of interesting. Putin did speak today, though, Butch, but go ahead and tell us what else you have.
Well, first I'll make a point here. Who do mercenaries fight for? Why do they call them mercenaries? Who's the loyalty towards normally? Money.
Money, money, money.
That's it. Money, money, money. Mercenaries are for hire. They're like a hitman. They're like old Westerns where they'd hire a gunslinger to come in and take over, They pay him to go against your enemies. Mercenaries, and maybe Prigozhin is loyal to Trump. We're going to share it in just a second. Maybe he really is loyal behind the scenes. But he's a mercenary. You can't trust mercenaries, folks. Gunslingers will trade sides for more money.
Why would he be loyal to Trump?
I don't know, but that's why he said he was. He said he wasn't really wanting Trump out. And I'm going to share about that in just a second. But the point is, we got to understand there's something more to this than what made side. Did he want Russia to appear weak? Was that another maybe a ploy from Russia's side? You can't tell me. If we knew about it, Putin knew about it. I mean, that's just common sense. But were they wanting Russia to appear weak for a reason? I don't know. Russia tries to restore control as Prigozhin denies trying to oust Putin. Russia Defense Chief Shoigu reappears while Kremlin media suggests the Wagner chief could yet face charges. The leaders of an aborted military mutiny Prigozhin defended the short-lived insurrection and claimed on Monday he wasn't trying to oust President Vladimir Putin of Russia, as the Kremlin took steps to reassert control of the country following the most serious challenge of Putin's authority in his 23 years in power. Prigozhin defended his actions in an 11-minute audio clip posted by his press service, saying Winder's aim wasn't to overthrow the government, but to protest the way the paramilitary group was being treated. Russian state media reported that the Wagner leader, whose whereabouts is unknown, is still under criminal investigation. Following the insurrection, Russian authorities on Monday took pains to show a return to normal life and that they were in control of the situation. Putin held phone calls with the leaders of Iran and Qatar, and the Kremlin posted a video addressed by the president to the participants in a youth industrial forum. He didn't address the mutiny. Russian Defense Minister Sergei Shoigu, whose removal was a key demand of Prigozhin, was also seen in a video published Monday for the first time since the Saturday uprising, when armed Wagner columnists marched toward the capital, briefly threatening to plunge Russia into chaos. For some reason, Prigozhin doesn't like Shoigu, and he said that he's protesting the way his mercenaries were being treated. I don't know exactly how that was. I know some months back he's complaining they weren't getting supplies to him in the battle. I know that. But again, he's a mercenary. He gets paid for this. So I don't know what, folks, I don't have all the ins and outs of this. I don't think anybody does unless those except those on the inside. But I don't think it's a surprise to America, nor is it a surprise to Russia, not the leadership of Russia. Maybe into the people like it was here in America. Well, Melody's right, folks. Anything could happen overnight. Anything could. Anything. And it could be even your finances overnight collapses. Prepare for deeply dangerous and unpredictable Russia. If Vladimir Putin is replaced, says security expert who wonders where the country will go full on fascist. The UK must prepare for a deeply dangerous and unpredictable post Vladimir Putin Russia, a security expert has warned, as he questions whether the country will go full on fascist in the wake of Wagner's revolt. Putin's image as a tough leader has already been badly bruised by the Ukraine war, which has dragged on for 16 months and claimed huge numbers of Russian troops. But when Prigozhin ordered his Wagner mercenaries to march toward Moscow in an attempt to coup, it exposed further weaknesses in their president analysis, saying, well, according to the head mercenary, he said this was not a coup. Now, this article says it was. As all the eyes focused on Putin's next move after Prigozhin was exiled to Belarus in a deal which saw him pull his private army away from Moscow at the 11th hour, security expert Edward Lucas pointed out the mounting problems the UK could face if there was to be a change of leadership. Mr. Lucas, a senior advisor at the Center for European Policy Analysis, told BBC News, "The world this weekend, we made very little preparation in this country and done very little thinking about post-Putin Russia. There will be all sorts of dilemmas and difficulties we face, and we need to start thinking right now about how to deal with them. And that's everything from do we worry about Russia falling to the hands of China? Is there going to be a disintegration? We'll go full on fascist. Will we have a long period of confusion and chaos? Will they use their nuclear weapons as a bargaining chip to try and get things? And these questions are all the questions that we ought to be dealing with. And I'm just not seeing it in most Western capitals. I'm not either. And again, to me, it was highly suspicious. When I heard it the first time, I had a gentleman call me and said, "You hear about this?" And I hadn't. Started listening a bit, and I heard more about it. And I thought, well, if I really, at the time, they were still going into Moscow. I thought this could be interesting. If they're going to go into Moscow, 25,000 armed troops, world will see really something really huge. And then, according to the head mercenary, he said, well, we didn't want that much bloodshed, so they backed out. It doesn't make a lot of sense, Melody. Well, if he'd been paid to do that, he didn't fulfill his duty. And if he wasn't being paid to do that, why did he do it? I mean,
I thought there was 8,000 of them.
25,000, I thought. Maybe I'm wrong. Yeah. I could be wrong on that.
Well, no, my point is, we really don't know what went on.
No, we don't.
There's so much. However, something went on. Now, whether this was an attempt, personally, could have been an attempt backed by our government to assassin. This is just a big conspiracy, people. I'm just throwing this out. Maybe it was a big attempt to assassinate Putin, and maybe Putin found out about it, and maybe it was nixed. You could create all kinds of scenarios, but something is not right. They used to say something was not right in Denmark. Well, now something's not right here.
Well, they said that the mercenaries shut down several of the helicopters, Russian helicopters, took out some aircraft, killed some pilots. And I think 38 pilots, 35 pilots were killed. Now, I don't know if that's all true or not. That's what's being reported.
Yeah, we don't know. But you know what was something else? I heard one of the reporters on one of these programs talk about that. You know, they started talking about propaganda. And I'm thinking, well, oh, lordy, lordy. There's so much propaganda out there. We don't know what really happened. But I think the importance also is mercenaries are paid. There's no loyalty. They're going to go with the highest bidder. And who's got the most money to go, or fake money, to go in there and have them reverse? I mean, they're just not going to do it out of the kindness of their heart. I mean, because isn't that the background of this whole story? Is they didn't like what was going on in Ukraine?
That's what it says. And when you thought, Melody, too, that this would affect the markets all over the world?
You'd think.
Big time? When you think so? Especially in China and Europe, when you think it would affect the markets really big time. I mean, if it's what it's supposed to be, we were just a few hours of having a coup. Don't you think that should affect the markets? I mean, hugely affect the markets.
Well, I mean, and again, I remember hearing about they had wanted a coup during World War II in England, and the guy that they had pointed to take charge of it said he went and did a little bit of history research. And every time there was an attempted coup, they're not successful because you need somebody on the inside. You need the military backing. And if you don't have the military backing, a coup will not be successful. And he declined to take it a step further because there was no way they'd be successful. So why do something that you're not successful? I always kept that in the back of my mind. They need to have the inside military in order to have a successful coup.
Yeah, there's something going on, like I said, something more than we know. And obviously, it didn't rattle the nations too much because nothing changed even financially. But now North Korea is getting in on the game again. North Korea holds rallies denouncing U.S., warns of nuclear war. North Korea mass rallies in Pyongyang where people shouted slogans vowing a war of revenge. Repeat that. People shouted slogans vowing a war of revenge to destroy the United States as it marked the 73rd anniversary of the outbreak of the Korean War, state media reported on Monday. About 120,000 working people and students took part in the rallies held across the capital on Sunday, state news agency KCNA reported. Photos released by the state media show the stadium crowded with people holding placards, reading "The whole U.S. mainland is within our shooting range," and "In perilous U.S. is the destroyer of peace." I can't argue with that. But anyway, Sunday's anniversary game came amid concerns Pyongyang told could soon conduct another launch of its first military spy satellite to boost monitoring of U.S. military activities after its first attempt ended in failure. North Korea has now had the strongest absolute weapon to punish U.S. imperialists, and the adventurers on this land are burning with the indomitable will to revenge the enemy. Now, North Korea said it has the strongest absolute weapon to punish U.S. imperialists, and the Avengers are willing to do it. What is the strongest weapon you know of? Well, we heard Putin talk about the other day. They had the Satan II missiles. Is it possible that maybe Putin give North Korea some Satan II missiles? Yeah, maybe. I don't think so. But what's talking about? What's the strongest weapon that the North Korea could have, Melody? That's a good question. Any comments on that?
No. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's just curious. I mean, it seems like how many nations that can we name now that are fighting among themselves or threatening war? I mean, we know the Middle East still is. I mean, but we have North Korea threatening South Korea and the U.S. and China and the U.S. Having a tit-tat, tit-for-tat back and forth, and Taiwan was maybe on the verge of being invaded. And Oh, my goodness. I mean, the whole world seems to be on the verge of exploding, doesn't it?
It does. And, I mean, and this is just what we know about.
Yeah, exactly. Now, different topic, different article, different direction, but it's interesting. The average American has over $54,000 worth of debt. I'm so glad I'm not average on the good side. What would you do to be completely debt-free? A new survey finds Americans will give up social media for a year. That's 32%. Spend the night on a remote island, 31%. And even go a month without internet access, 29%. Wow. According to the poll of 2,000 U.S. adults, the average person feels they could only stay debt-free for about 8.5 weeks, less than 3 months before accruing new debt. The research also measured people's confidence in their ability to remain out of debt, revealing that 38% feel very confident in this regard. The most uncertain respondents, 384 of them, shared some of the reasons, including the rising cost of living, 54%, unexpected expenses, 46%, rising interest rates, 29%, not having enough support from others, 20%, and feeling the need to spend to keep up with the others, 16%. People's biggest debt hurdles include credit card debt, 57%, mortgages, 30%, automobile loans, 30%, and medical debt, 28%. Conducted by the One Poll on behalf of Beyond Financial National Financial Freedom Day, the survey also found the average person has $54,767 worth of debt, with 56% saying they owe more for necessities than they do for nice-to-haves. For some, their debt has stood in the way of making significant changes, life changes such as buying a home, a car, and setting up their child's savings. So, 56% say they owe more for necessities than for nice-to-haves. That means nearly 56% of the people, 50 out of 100, owe more just trying to get a head above water to buy necessities. They're in debt because they're trying to pay necessities, not because they want to buy nicer stuff. That's a serious statement.
It means it's been going on for a long time, too.
Oh, it has.
Yeah.
And now it's starting to accumulate to the point that people are going in debt just to buy necessities. I mean, house payments and power bills and food, and those are necessities. You can't live without food. It's nice to have electricity, and you'd like to have a roof over your head. I mean, if you can't afford that, where do you go? What do you do? That's a good question. You can only work so many hours a day. And if you have two parents in the home, they have two people able to work full time. That's just not a. It's not sustainable, folks. It's not a good. That's just not a good story to look at and understand. That we have people in this country can't even afford necessities. Melody, anything you want to add to that?
No. Again, these are just one of the little signs of, you know, how the real people of this country are dealing with things. And even we've read how many times even the one percenters. You know, we read about them the other day going to the dollar store.
Absolutely.
You know, the one percenters that are, you know, having harder and harder time to manage. You know, they might have bigger lifestyles and everything, but that doesn't mean, you know, that they're not finding it difficult. Because why? Because their dollar is not purchasing the same thing as it did once before.
Not even close.
The purchasing power is declining. Even the one percenters, their purchasing power is declining to where they have to make adjustments.
It's not even close to what it used to be. I mean, I know when I shop at a little produce stand not too far from where I live, I can't believe the prices on things. It's just unbelievable. These are produce stands. Now, I realize right now in West Virginia, tomatoes are just now starting to get ripe, and we're buying tomatoes from out of state, and it costs more. I realize that. But the prices are absolutely ridiculous. Two tomatoes, two peaches, and one cantaloupe, $7.50. That's a lot of money, Melody, for just a couple little things. You understand what I'm saying? That's kind of high, in my opinion. Especially back when, years ago, back in the last century when I first got married, you go to the bakery and buy 12 loaves of bread for a dollar, 12 lunch cakes for a dollar. Gasoline was 22 cents. I mean, something happened. And folks, it's not that gasoline got that much shorter. That was a con. Not that we're in our bread or anything else. Since 1971, the dollar has dropped precipitously. I mean, it's dropped tremendously. Gold went up from $35 an ounce to almost $2,000 an ounce now since 1971. Gee, think about that. It ain't going to get no better. Well, I know it's not too long out of break time, but I'll let you take us in the break.
I was just reading the article. Did you see that picture of RFK Jr.?
Oh, yeah.
How pumped he was?
Yep.
We'll talk about that when we get back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Well, I'm standing on a corner in Winslow, Arizona. It's such a fine sight to see. It's a girl, my lord, in a flatbed Ford, slowing down to take a look at me.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE talkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. Heading into the break, we were kind of getting a little chuckle or two for about the RFK Jr. He posted a clip of him doing. He only did 9 bench presses, okay? I don't think that's very many, but I don't know because I don't do any. But it doesn't seem like a lot. Push-ups, you know, I didn't count them, but they weren't. He didn't do 50 of them. And I'm not criticizing. No. But the media just went wild and crazy over it. And I don't know, Butch. I mean, I know Biden is – this election is not going to be – everybody talks about the election between Trump and Biden. I'm sorry, it's not going to be. Biden will not be running for president. He might said he's campaigning. He might be – but he will not be the nominee for the president for the election. There's just no way.
I think you're right.
There's just absolutely no way. And I've said that a long time ago. There's no way. I don't care what they say now. He's not going to be the next president of the United States.
He's a big liability.
Yeah.
He really is.
You get him on the debate stage? Are you kidding me? Could you imagine a debate? And I'm not criticizing RFK Jr. I mean, there's a lot of things that he says that I like, but yet I'm also skeptic of, you know, of the things that he says. Can you imagine, and again, him and Biden on a debate? I mean, Biden, who can't remember anything, and I don't remember what he has wrong with his voice, but he is difficult to listen to. But you know what's interesting? As difficult it is to listen to, you have a tendency to listen, to pay attention a little bit more because of his. Would you agree?
I do, yes. Yeah. I do. I don't know enough about him to really say yeah or nay. I like some of the things you're saying, too, but other things I don't like. So I really don't know what to say, but I don't think Biden has a snowball chance of getting through the primary. I really, really don't. I don't think
so. No, he doesn't. So I'm not quite sure why they're holding him to the line so tight, you know.
Well, they got plenty of time between, long time between now and the primary, so I'm sure they'll phase him out, I guess you could say. Next article here from an IMF managing director says, we are working hard on a global CBDC. Now, folks, all this rhetoric, all this smoke about CBDCs and all the other money control systems, all this smoke means there's a little fire somewhere. During a presentation at their conference in Morocco, Christina George Grivier, the managing director of the International Monetary Fund, announced that the global body is working hard on the concept of a global CBDC platform. Georgia GVA declared that central bank digital currencies need to be to interoperate between countries, noting if we are to be successful, CBDC could not be fragmented with national propositions. To have transactions more efficient and fairer, we need systems that connect countries, Geneva said, continue adding, in other words, we need interoperability. The IMF MD argued that global digital currencies will give more people access to financial services and bring the cost down, adding that CBDCs can provide more for more resilient and efficient payment systems and can be a cheaper way and quicker way to close do cross-border payments to pass remittance and simplify other transfers. Some have warned that a digital global currency in the hands of global elite entities could usher in a hyper-centralized techno-communist dystopia, allowing all purchases to be tracked and even linked to a social credit score system. Rich Dad, Poor Dad author Robert Kolinsky recently cautioned that CBDCs could open the door for an unprecedented level of surveillance of Americans. By tracking every financial transaction, they will have access to every detail of our spending, the recipient of our money, and how we allocate our resources, he says. In essence, it replicates George Orwell's dystopian society depicted in 1984. Big Brother will be constantly monitoring our financial activity, and this is precisely the problem with central bank digital currency, he added. As individual, I become nervous at the thought of this. I do not want them to monitor my every transaction or to be privy to my spending habits. It's a violation of my privacy, and they have no business knowing how I choose to allocate my resources. Reflecting such concerns, Representative Tom Emmer from Minnesota recently introduced a bill that would ban the Federal Reserve from introducing CBDCs as well as forcing the Fed to remain transparent with Congress and research into the issue. CBDCs are being promoted on the basis that they will increase financial freedom, yet critics have asserted that the system would empower the state to place limits on spending and decide what people were allowed to buy. The amount of an individual could save could also be controlled via negative savings rates programmed into savings accounts. Wow. That would be pretty much total control, Melody.
Certainly is.
Total control. And I don't know how much, how far this is going to go, or would the guys go through with it. I don't know, but they're talking about it. And they're not so much talking about it. All of the country, different organizations, the DHS outlines digital ID initiative for travel, immigration, and citizenship status, employment, residency status, and more. The Department of Homeland Security, folks. The U.S. Department of Homeland Security recent unveiling of a $1.7 million initiative to foster the development of digital wallets will raise eyebrows among privacy advocates. While DHS's Science and Technology Directorate potentially presents this as a privacy-preserving digital credentials wallets and verifiers, SVIP, topic called The Devil Will Be in the Details. The plan is to use the system for travel, immigration, and citizenship status, employment, residency status, and more. A look at the DHS announcement shows a particular emphasis on wallets that are compatible with World Wide Web consortiums, verifiable credential data models, and W3C's decentralized identifiers standards. On the surface, this may appear as a step towards standardization. However, this type of centralization could create a monoculture that will also speed up the move towards centralized digital IDs, which could be the entire plan. I agree. There we go.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Just let me inject here, because you're talking about, you know, everyone is controlling. Well, Biden announces his $42 billion high-speed internet initiative. He wants, now these funds have already been allotted by Congress through the bipartisan infrastructure law, you know, that we talk about, you know, the Biden inflation bill and so forth. But he thinks that every American household should have access to high-speed internet by 2030. So, you know, in order to rush in any type of, you know, currency and so forth and whatnot, everybody's going to have a high-speed internet. I mean, it's all part of the system, you know. Get it to everybody.
Isn't it amazing how 2030 keeps popping up as a date?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it amazing? That's what, 6.5 years now? I'm literally 6.5 years now.
And the thing of it is, I mean, it doesn't mean that some of these houses and stuff, they don't have it. It's just that these areas are underserved and that the speed is slow. And you know, and it's probably not even the internet. It could be their computer. So, hey, I guess they'll get new computers, too. I mean, Obama got everybody a free phone.
Well, so many, many people I talk to do not have computers, do not want computers, do not have internet, and do not want internet. They don't even have cell phones. And that's their choice, and good for them.
Yep, I agree.
But what will happen whenever it gets to the point you can't go to the store unless you have this?
Well,
I had a phone call from a lady the other day, and I told her I would not put her name out, and I won't, from D.C. area. And the store up there, she can't get into unless she scanned your, what do you call that code, QR code. She has to scan it on her phone to get into the store. She is not allowed in the store if she don't scan the QR code first. Why she didn't have a phone? How's she going to buy or sell? Now, folks, I'm not making this up. This is for real. She called and said, just don't mention my name, and I didn't. That's what's happening in America today. That's how close we are to going into the total, complete beast system where everything you do, say, buy, sell, we totally monitored. Very close. Ready to move on, Melody?
I am.
Venezuela. Folks, listen to this. To integrate Russian MIR, M-I-R, payment system in the de-dollarization push, the dollar is going to go away, folks. The government of Venezuela recently announced that it is integrating MIR, a Russian payment system, into its point-of-sale network as part of a national de-dollarization push previously announced by President Nicolas Maduro. Galisto Ortega, president of the Central Bank of Venezuela, stated that the bank has finalized the necessary steps to be connected to the interbank messages of the Central Bank of Russia in order to be able to communicate with Venezuelan banks and Russian banks through this system. In this first phase, more than 40,000 point-of-sale terminals will be able to interact with MIR payment systems. The Central Bank of Russia established MIR in 2017 to circumvent the sanctions that credit card providers like MasterCard and Visa enacted against the country in 2014. Folks, our sanctions against Russia have been a joke, a total joke, it's led to our further demise. Ortega stated that the goal was for 30% of the available terminals to be connected to the MIR system to accept cards issued by Russian banks denominated in rubles to make payments in local currency in Venezuela. President Maduro explained that this implementation was part of the construction of a new global payment system away from Western sanctions and the influence of the U.S. dollar. Melly, you certainly feel like nobody wants us anymore.
Well, they don't want our money.
I mean, it's getting kind of obvious to me. Gee. And this I covered at a Bible study 10 years ago. I said, one day they're going to tax you by the mile, not by the gallon of gas. I didn't have all the reasons why, except back then, fuel was getting cheaper, and they were losing money, states losing money. And now, of course, with the EVs, if they're making any headway at all, that means they'll lose more money. So, as fuel taxes plummet, states weigh charging by the mile instead of the tank. We covered this many years ago, folks. Evan Burroughs has spent 8 years touting the virtues of an Oregon pilot program, charging motorists by the distance their vehicle travels rather than the gas it guzzles, yet his mother still hasn't bought it. Margaret Burroughs, 85, said she has no intention of inserting a tracking device on her Nissan Murano to record the miles she drives to get groceries or attend needlepoint meetings. She figures it's far less hassle to pay at the pump, as Americans have done for more than a century. Burroughs' reluctance exemplifies the myriad of hurdles U.S. states face as they experiment with road usage charging programs aimed at one day replacing motor fuel taxes, which are generating less each year in part due to fuel efficiency and the rise of electric vehicles. The federal government is about to pilot its own such program, funded by $125 million from the infrastructure major President Biden signed in November 2021. So far, only three states, Oregon, Utah, and Virginia, are generating revenue from road usage charges, despite the looming threat of an ever-widening gap between states, gas tax receipts, and their transportation budgets. Hawaii will soon become the fourth. Without action, the gap could reach $67 billion by 2050 due to fuel efficiency alone, Boston-based CDM Smith estimates. Yep, that's coming, folks. By the mile. By the mile. And I got time now. Maybe one more story here. Shoppers must pass through security gate to enter San Francisco grocery store. The folks I just mentioned, the lady from D.C. area. A San Francisco's Bay Area grocery store beefed up security measures to deter shoplifting. The Castro Safeway installed metal security gates at the entrance, Fox Business reported. San Francisco Bay Area grocery stores take drastic measures to deter rampant shoplifting. The Solomac gate closes after each person enters the store. Barricades also make it harder for the shoplifters to make a run for it. Safeway also closed off its exit and blocked it with water bottles. Other grocery stores are following its lead. A Safeway in Valerio added gates and closed a second entrance. In 2022, police records revealed 2,900 shopliftings were reported in San Francisco, NBC Bay Area reported. The Bay Area, which has seen property crime rise 10.4% since last year, has also been affected with a spike in smash and grab robberies where shoplifters, armed with bats and other weapons, make off with thousands of merchandise from high-end stores. Stealing merchandise under $950 is considered a misdemeanor, meaning law enforcement officials won't even bother investigating. There's no deterrent in the state of California to discourage theft at this point, said Mike Ligginger, a retired police officer and security consultant, told NBC. Rising crime rates have led to more than 22 stores fleeing downtown San Francisco in the past 18 months. That's over 1 month leaving. So you got to go through security to get in. There you go, Melody. I think we're about ready to wrap it up here, so I'll let you take it on out of here.
Yes, we are. Thank you for bringing us all that information. There's just so much going on out there. And so give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And we will be back tomorrow, Dave Allen and myself. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dreams, I have a plan. If I've got me a wealthy